5
And here we go.
Okay, let's run.
Let's count them down.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Top 5 Film Dive. I'm your host, Mr. Kurt Morrison, coming to you live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, as usual, folks. And today, we have a very special guest, a new friend of the show, and a guy I've been talking to for the better part of almost a year, and following his page religiously, and absolutely adore it. My friend, the casual moviegoer, Mr. Ankith Verma, also located in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. How are you, buddy?
Couple of Toronto boys up in here. I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. Toronto boys, floral shirts. I honestly think that we might be the two most handsome film critics in the city. But you know,
I mean, I didn't want to say it, but yeah,
I'm just gonna, you know, I that's the narcissist of me kicking out coming out. So,
but by the way, let me know. My cat is taking like a shit.
Oh, that's all good, man. It's all
his
good.
Litter box is behind me, and I can hear him going in there. So, if I pass out from the smell,
it's all good. So we'll cut that part out of the show.
Yeah.
When you pass out, not the cat taking a shit part, but guys, I really want to I'll give you some insight here. This man here has amassed an enormous and well-deserved, may I add, 12,000 followers now on social media. But you have become a face for both HBO's digital marketing campaigns over the last couple months. Every weekend, Ankith is releasing a weekend watch list, which I've shared with many, many of my friends who are always looking for something to watch on the weekends. And that being said, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, man. I really appreciate taking the time. The reason why we're getting together today is because we want to discuss the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as right now it has kind of hit a huge stride following the release in 1 week of, premiere access release. What do we call it? What do they call it when they charge us $30 for Disney Plus?
They call it, I'm going to illegally stream this film.
There you go. That too. Of Black Widow. And then the series finale of, I should say the season one finale, pardon me, of Loki on Wednesday. I'm following, so I know that you did see Black Widow. How'd you feel about that?
I thought it was perfectly passable. Middle of the road type movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one. I called it par. It was on par. It was okay. It was entertaining. What'd you think about that Loki finale?
The Loki finale was great. I think out of the three Marvel shows they've had so far, I've been disappointed with the finale of each show. I find like they've had a great buildup, but the finale, they always drop the ball. And I feel like with Loki, it surpassed my expectations of what the finale should be.
All right.
They pulled the trigger on, I don't want to say spoilers, but they pulled the trigger on something that fans were waiting on.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad they did that. And obviously the implications to what's going to happen is huge. So I really liked it. And just the visuals of that last episode and like that weird space area they're in, it looks so good.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I was talking on my last episode actually with Claire Kingswell, Miss Unseen Film, about Kate Herron, who I adore as a director. And she's catapulted herself, I think, into the mainstream now with Loki. And I'm expecting to see her knock on a few more doors. I interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I was interrupting you. I was going to say, are you upset that she's not coming back for season two?
I am, but I think that it's because she's finally getting the attention she deserves to go do other projects. And I heard through the grapevine as well that she's also being looked at to helm a few projects in the MCU. Mm-hmm. Again, that's just word of mouth through our internets and Instagram.
Right.
So
right.
We'll see where that ends up. Nevertheless, sir, I have to put you through the top five grind. Okay.
Bring it out.
So guys,
is that this, who wants to be a millionaire?
That was the who wants to be a millionaire. So that's the part where I add the audio in post-production there. So what we do here, guys, and if you listen to the show before, any first-time guest goes through the top five grind. So what I do is I put our guest, Ankith, on the microscope here, under the microscope, regarding topics regarding the movies, and so on and so forth. So we're going to start off. Who is your favorite actor, sir?
That would be Willem Dafoe.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, he's very versatile.
Good answer. Favorite actress?
Toni Collette.
Ah, wonderful. In my top three for sure. Favorite director?
Edgar Wright.
Ooh, interesting answer.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so out of his filmography, what's your favorite?
So out of his filmography, yeah. Scott Pilgrim.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Favorite genre?
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi, nice. You and I are going to get along famously, sir. So favorite films of all time can be top film, top three, top five. What are the first things that come to mind?
I actually have my top five because I did like a top five video a couple of months back. So it's up there. Yeah. So number five is Scott Pilgrim for many reasons, which I won't go into if we don't have enough time. But Scott Pilgrim, number five. Call Me By Your Name, number four.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see now that makes me want to watch it. I've never seen it.
Oh, no. It's funny. When I first watched it, I liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved it. But like there was a part missing. I just I didn't like fully love it. And then like afterwards, the soundtrack is what brought me back. Like, I really like the soundtrack of the film.
All right.
I kept listening to it. And I was like, you know what? I should give this movie another chance. And I watched it like with a different lens. And then I was like, yeah, this is definitely top five for me.
Cool, man. Very cool. Yeah. Okay. That's motivated me to watch that tonight. Actually, I got some free time after you and I split up.
There you go.
Number three,
Interstellar.
Oh, hi, my man.
Yes. Yeah. number two is always a good one to share. Rush Hour 2.
I love it. Hey, man, we all got our guilty pleasures.
Yeah, well, exactly, right? I feel like if you don't have your guilty pleasure up in the top five, like, come on.
Yeah.
And then number one is Collateral.
Tom Cruise
and Jamie Foxx. Yep.
Oh, my friend. Oh, my God. Okay. You are going to be a repeat guest on the show. My Collateral rewatch next month. So,
cool. Yeah, I will rewatch it with you.
Oh, buddy. That's awesome. So that being said, we touched very quickly on the MCU and with everything that's going on in the MCU. And I mean, both you and I are kind of at the forefront. We know what's to come in phase four. Coming up in about a month's time, we've got Shang-Chi followed by Eternals and followed by Spider-Man No Way Home and such. We want to take a look back. And Ankit and I are going to look back at our top five favorite MCU projects. Okay. Now, that being said, what we're going to do is we're going to deep dive into our five favorites, obviously sharing little anecdotes and so on and so forth in regards to why we love or adore particular films. But I want to start off with a little bit of, and this is an unusual case for the show. Is there any MCU project that you've ever disliked? Pardon me. There we go.
Yes.
Which one?
Yes. I have two.
Okay.
Iron Man 3 and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Fair. Okay. Yep. Okay.
When I did my Marvel rewatch before Endgame, I skipped those two movies purposely.
Really, eh?
I detest them.
we gave Guardians 2 a rewatch about a year ago, and we're like right in the kind of peak of COVID there, maybe spring of beginning of COVID. And it doesn't hold up. It's not a very good film.
How about you?
Iron Man 3 is the first one that comes to mind. So I despise it. I think that there's like such a lack of direction to it. And I know that like now people are like, well, Shang-Chi is gonna be the actual Mandarin in the Ten Rings. I'm like, you lost me 7 or 8 years ago when Iron Man 3 came out.
Yeah, so. I don't think Mandarin was a problem with that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of other problems with that movie. The Home Alone shit was really what got to me.
So it just feels like this kind of bastard child of the MCU. Yep. Like, it's there, but like we don't talk to it. Ironically enough, one of the entries here that I'm going to talk about in my top five caught me off guard because I used to despise it and I fell in love with it recently. So that being said, buddy, we are going to jump into our top fives. So I'm going to just quickly say my honorable mention is Thor Ragnarok. Love Thor Ragnarok. It's hilarious. I feel like it's this oddball comedy, buddy cop comedy in the MCU that doesn't really necessarily fit into like all the other stuff that came before it. But it's, like I said, that kind of oddball that took us to space, but kind of a little bit crazier space. So, but my number five is actually Captain America Winter Soldier. Now, if it's in your five, or if it's in your five, you got to cut me off because we'll come back to it later. Is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it is? Okay, we'll come back to it later. We'll come back to it later. So, what's your number five then?
My number five is a wild card.
Oh.
It's Ant-Man, the first one.
Hey, cool. All right.
Yeah, I don't know why. It just like hit me in a certain way when I watched it. Yeah. I think I walked in with so little expectations.
Yeah.
I was like, the fuck, he can control ants. Like, I don't know what I'm going to get out of this, but you know, let's try Paul Rudd. That's interesting casting. I feel like I would have loved it even more if Edgar Wright directed it, ended up actually going all the way and ended up directing it, but that's here or there. I don't know. I really like the heist aspect of the movie. Like this was before Endgame pulled off the heist of the century.
Yeah.
This was a proper like Ocean's 11 style heist. We're going to plan it. They went through the whole planning sequence. They went through the whole montage, the whole training. Like I loved everything they did there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you feel the same way, but when I watched that movie and even the sequel, Mm-hmm. I feel like Ant-Man has carved out this niche of almost being like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah,
I agree. Like, it's so family friendly and it's just, yeah, it's so lovable.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know why, that's just, it just always like stuck out in my head, like with all this like space battles and mm-hmm. like army soldiers and all this kind of stuff. It was nice to like narrow down into this like suburban dad just trying to win over his daughter's heart. Like, I found that sweet.
Absolutely, man. No, I totally feel you. I totally feel Ant-Man sits between like that 5 and 10 range for me. Mm-hmm. I like the first one a hell of a lot more than the second one. No, I shouldn't say, pardon me. I shouldn't say a hell of a lot more. I have a love and adoration for both of them. But right. that first one, to echo your statement there, is like, I went into it like with such low expectations and it was like, oh my God, this shouldn't be as entertaining as it is.
Right?
Like, you guys did a fantastic job on it. And I think he's become this integral part of the MCU, right? And mm-hmm. whether the third chapter, Quantumania, and I don't think they're going to wrap his kind of part up. I think that Paul Rudd's going to be one of those guys that kind of sticks around for a while.
Well, especially I think they're probably leading to like a Young Avengers type movie.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's going to probably play like a Hawkeye role where he's going to pass the mantle in like probably a show or something.
I hope so. And like, Paul Rudd's like that guy that like everybody likes. Like, you want to have him around in the MCU. But yeah, man, I think that Ant-Man is like, it's like one of those like ones that goes under everybody's radar that everybody like thoroughly enjoys, but doesn't get talked about enough. Doesn't get talked about enough whatsoever. So moving on. All right. So we're going to come back to Winter Soldier. I wonder where that's sitting in yours. But my number four is a movie that I have a soft spot for. It was mine and my girlfriend's first real date night, movie night. I know. But Guardians of the Galaxy was so unexpected for me when it was released back in the summer of 2015. And I still like fondly remember my first viewing of it. I'm just reading whatever.
Subject 89P13 calls itself Rocket, the result of illegal genetic and cybernetic experiments on a lower life form.
What the hell?
They call it Groot, a humanoid plant that's been traveling recently as 89P13's personal houseplant slash muscle. Peter Jason Quill from Terra, raised from youth by a band of mercenaries called the Ravagers, led by Yondu Udonta.
And being absolutely floored by how much I liked it and having walked into it expecting nothing. I was a huge fan of James Gunn even before he hit Guardians of the Galaxy. And like, to see his wit and like that savagely sarcastic sense of humor shine through and introduce us to now so many integral parts of the new MCU that I beg and plead to see now what is to come next for the Guardians with Gunn at the helm.
Yeah, it was a home run. No, I'm honestly the thing about Guardians that impresses me the most is just like James Gunn's career trajectory. Like, gets his franchise, it explodes, does the sequel, gets fired, gets another franchise, gets back to the original franchise. Yeah. Making double the amount of money, I'm like, you could have asked for a better outcome,
right? It's what you strive for if you start off in Hollywood to be like, are you excited for Suicide Squad? Just to kind of veer away from the MCU for a sec.
I am. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I like many people did not like the first one at all. So I'm excited to see what James Gunn does. I just hope it's not like a Guardians remix. You know, like I hope it has its own flavor.
Yeah.
And I like that they brought back the majority of the characters, because even though the movie wasn't good, I thought Suicide Squad 1 did a really good job with casting. Absolutely. Like, I loved all the people they brought in, so I'm glad.
Absolutely.
And I'm like a wrestling fan, so I like seeing John Cena there. So
are we vibing? Bro, Money in the Bank last night.
Yeah, I'm still like, I know all the winners, but I'm rewatching some of the matches.
Wait, hold on.
I know who won.
Am I spoiling the ending though?
No, I know who won everything. All the matches.
Do you know what happens at the last second of the last match? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I would have felt bad if I had spoiled the scene.
No.
The internet did that today for you. So
yeah.
So I got goosebumps this morning. Anyways, Mr. Cena, let's have you around more often in wrestling and in film. So, what's your four, bud?
It's Winter Soldier. So.
Oh, cool. Let's jump into it, man.
Yeah, let's talk about Winter Soldier.
Go right ahead.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Go right ahead.
I think majority of people, Winter Soldier falls in their top five list for obvious reasons. For me, it's like it's a proper political thriller. And in the MCU that is just like so uncommon. I think they did a really good job of making it a superhero movie, but also
absolutely
blending it into kind of like real world concepts.
Yeah.
I thought it was really well done. The Hydra twist was great. I never saw that coming.
Same.
And I gained more appreciation for the movie after a couple of years when the Russos, like, they did Endgame, so they were being interviewed, and they said in an interview the reason they got hired to do Winter Soldier is because they directed the paintball episode of Community.
Really? Eh? I did not know that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was just like a little tidbit, a little fact that I was like, that is so cool that these guys just did this random offshoot episode of a fringe comedy show, and then Marvel was like, those guys are going to direct our action.
these guys are going to lead us into that $1 billion. So.
Yeah. But how about you? Like, why do you love it so much?
You know what? And it's so funny to echo your sentiment there towards it. Initially, when I first watched Winter Soldier, perhaps I was hungover. Perhaps I was just in a bad mood. I didn't like it. I actually didn't like it at all. I don't know what it was about it, but like, just rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know what it was. The experience of seeing in the theaters, I didn't enjoy. So when it came out on Blu-ray or whatever, rented it, and I was like, oh my God, like I don't know what I was thinking the first time I saw this film. Like, again, it's one of those movies that like sits in majority of people's top five,
right?
Who at least, you know, have knowledge of the MCU or have seen most of the movies, if not all the movies. And like, I love it, man. I love the pacing of it, the structure of it. Like you said, it's just like hard-hitting political thriller mixed with like, again, what would essentially be like a comic book movie. But I wrote in just very quickly here, I'm grateful for it for introducing us to how great the Russo brothers are and how Marvel didn't just have to be looked at from then on as a comic book movie, as this fits the bill in several genres. It's one of the few entries in the MCU that has gotten better with age, and unlike its predecessor, it turns up the action, the violence, the espionage, the twists, and genuinely made me like Steve Rogers. It was a standout in 2014 and still remains a standout. It remains a standout still to this day in the MCU because of its storytelling, directing, and character development for Cap and now Bucky and Sam, who are two of the largest parts of our MCU. Right? Yeah, man. Yeah, it's like I said, it was just so strange to like not like the film the first time I saw it. And then now if someone's looking for a comic book movie, I have kind of like five or six usual go-tos, and that's always one of them. That's always one of them. So Winter Soldier, man, that was my number five. That was your number four. So we're on a roll here. So let's keep her going, buddy. So this is strange. And this is actually a good lead in because it was your number four here. So my number three, and this echoes the same things that I was basically just saying with Winter Soldier, but much more recently, like I'm talking like 2 or 3 months ago. So post WandaVision, post Cap and Winter Soldier, my girlfriend and I were like, what can we watch? Like, let's watch something through and through. So we were talking about a few series. We're talking about James Bond. We were talking about Jason Bourne. She's like, let's do the MCU like character by character.
Okay.
So we started with the first Avenger, Captain America.
Right.
Joe Johnson's 2011 film. First time I saw it. And again, hear me out. So I hated it. I absolutely hated it. Didn't like it. Didn't get it. Thought it was like misplaced in this direction that they had set with like Thor and Iron Man 2 and Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, and all these films. And again, mind you, this is 2011. So this is like before the MCU was like the gigantic franchise that it is. Fast forward, like I said, about 5 months ago. And we turn on First Avenger, and I'm like a little kid, and like I love this. I laughed, I cried, I was like absorbed 10 years after this film's release, and it reminded me so much of films that I grew up watching. Indiana Jones, The Rocketeer, which director Joe Johnson.
I need to watch that.
Oh man, it's so good. It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's on my list. Yeah.
And like, this is Joe Johnson's lone entry into the MCU. And for me, it stands out far above the rest. I adore this film. And the seeds that it planted back in the summer of 2011. And I feel like it's a great, gravely misunderstood and underloved project.
A week next Saturday at the Stork Club. got it.
8 o'clock on the dot. Don't you dare be late. Understood?
You know, I still don't know how to dance.
So, are you saying that, like, from 2011 up until now, you hated it? And Wow, that's crazy.
Like, and now it's like one of my favorite.
Wow, yeah, it's now your number three. That's crazy.
So I know, like, such a weird chain of events for me to like fall back in love with that. Not even back in love, just fall in love with that movie in general. But yeah, man, and like Evans gets me, man. Evans kills me, and that it's such a naive, soft turn from before he becomes again like the soldier that we expect, right? I think Winter Soldier obviously leads into him becoming, I would say, more the face of the Avengers than Tony, yes. which is debatable. Yeah. But I'd like to think, he becomes the poster child for the Avengers. So, yeah.
And it's a great cast too with the first one. Like they got Tommy Lee Jones and then Hugo Weaving. Yep. Like that's a pretty solid combination.
Yeah. And even when we were watching it, like I was looking at some of the guys who were in the Howling Commandos with him, and it's all what's his face? Actors that like you and I would know from other projects. It's just cool to see, to look back on it and be like, they did a really good job with this movie, and it's underperformed. But man, it holds up so well. It holds up so well. So that being said, I'd like to hear your number three, sir.
It's Avengers Endgame.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I mean, and I think it's obvious here, like it is pure fan service. If I did not see it in theaters, it would not be the same experience. I'm purely going off the fact that I nearly legitimately almost passed out during the massive portal scene.
Yep.
Like I actually had like my, I felt the blood like pumping in my arms and I was getting all tingly. And
the adrenaline?
Like, oh, yeah. I was like, this is crazy. That's the reason. Yeah. Like it's purely just everyone followed them for 10 plus years. And they were like, okay, you know what? Let's just like go back and pay off everything. All the references, all the little like cheeky tongue in cheek moments. Like let's just go all out.
It's my number two.
Nice.
So I'm going to piggyback off you.
You could not live with your own failure. Where did that bring you? To me. I thought by eliminating half of life, the other half would thrive. But you've shown me that's impossible. And as long as there are those that remember what was, there will always be those that are unable to accept what can be.
So what do you... Okay, oh, see, I'm scared to ask this question. Are you an Endgame guy or an Infinity War guy?
Oh yeah, that weird argument.
Is Infinity War in your top two?
It's not.
Oh, okay. So we can confidently say that.
No reason against it. I loved Infinity War, but yeah, it's just like, I don't know. If I had to pick between the two, I'm picking Endgame. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. And again, based off just what you said, the fan service and like the chills that I get talking about the experience in the theater, which I've talked about 17 times on the show. So I'm not going to give you guys all the story again. I love it. I absolutely love it. I wrote down this before we came in. Avengers Endgame is like chicken noodle soup for the MCU. Mm. Whenever I need something on to comfort me, to make me laugh, to play in the background, or to just make me cry after a bad day, it's Avengers Endgame. So it's like you said, it's the perfect mixture of fan service in conclusion to something that we had followed for 10 almost 10 and a half years, I guess, right? So 10 years, I think, on the nose, was it not?
So 2008 was first the Iron Man, so it was 11 years.
Nevertheless, man, that's crazy. And still chugging along.
Every couple of weeks I'll watch the videos online of like people recording the audience reactions. Just goosebumps.
The portal scene just kills me.
Yeah.
Like absolute time. Like it's instant goosebumps if I talk about it or if I watch it and just watch that scene alone. Oh.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of funny how like, if I can go off on a tangent.
Yeah, go please. You know what I've noticed? We haven't sworn yet. I'm very proud of us.
I've said it like four times at least. Yeah, I'm so natural with it. It just like flows. It's my ebb and flow.
go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's just like a tangent. Like I love how like Marvel or just like comic book movies in general are seen like they're the death of cinema, the death of theaters.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, these are the people bringing people to theaters. Like,
yeah,
they're the ones keeping it alive. It's just like a weird tangent, which I don't get, like the whole like commercial versus art house, all that kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm just, yeah, it's just like, no, these guys are keeping it alive, if anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's even to be said, and I'm just going to pull something up very quickly here. Mm-hmm. As I was scrolling through on my way home from downtown today, where's the Cineplex? Cineplex on their Instagram today released this statement. We welcomed 475,000 Canadians back to the big screen this weekend.
Wow.
And let's be honest. I mean, as much as I do love F9, there were a lot more people going to see Black Widow than there was that. And I think, again, that goes to show you it's getting asses in seats and it's keeping this industry alive. And as much as people don't want to admit it, I'm in complete agreement with you.
Yeah.
And I appreciate your sentiment, sir. Mm-hmm. So
thank you.
But yeah, guys, keep chugging on. I mean,
those 450,000 were there to watch Pig by Nicolas Cage.
No, that was, I think, only about a mere 4,500 people, but nevertheless.
Just four people watching.
Yeah. So I got the numbers confused with what was the other film that came out this weekend? Space Jam.
Oh god.
Oh my god, are we gonna talk about that quick? Yeah, I can tell you right now, I don't think that's where the big numbers came from. But guys, if you want to check out Unkfit's review on Space Jam and New Legacy, it's the nail on the head regards to my sentiment and his. So number two. What's number two, buddy?
Oh, Civil War.
Oh, great. Oh, let's dig into this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very like it doesn't get talked about enough.
Yeah.
For 2015, when it came out, was it 2015 or 2016? 2015, I think.
2016. Yeah.
It was my favorite of that year, like of all the movies. Granted, I wasn't watching as many films back then, but still, like Civil War. I love how natural the events of the film came out to be. You know, like I was worried that they would spend a good chunk of the film setting up the animosity between Tony Stark and Steve Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
But they did such a good job in their separate films of like establishing their mantras. Like Captain America is very pro-freedom, like don't let the government get in my way. And Tony Stark is very much about protecting the ones he loves. And if that means going a little bit overboard, so be it.
There's no decision-making process here. We need to be put in check. Whatever form that takes, I'm game. If we can't accept limitations, we're boundaryless. We're no better than the bad guys.
Tony, someone dies on your watch, you don't give up.
Who said we're giving up?
We are for not taking responsibility for our actions. This document just shifts the blame.
I'm sorry, Steve, that is dangerously arrogant. This is the United Nations we're talking about. It's not the World Security Council. It's not SHIELD. It's not HYDRA.
No, but it's run by people with agendas, and agendas change.
That's good.
Yeah, I just love how like those two lines interconnected in such a natural way that you didn't need that big buildup. It was just like a little push, and then that push happened, and then everything that happened afterwards was so good. I legitimately felt shocked, like in that final battle. I did not know what would happen. Like, I did not know if this movie would have a happy ending. And sure enough, it didn't. Like, it ended on a pretty bad note.
Yeah.
And I like how they introduced two tentpole figures in Spider-Man and Black Panther in this one movie, but they didn't like let it overshadow overall story. They were just like there. And then we knew that we would get their backstory later. Yep. I just thought it was really well done. The Russo brothers did a good job of just balancing all the people, all the storylines, all the arcs all together.
Yeah. Well said, Brent. Well said. The writers of that, and I'm going to screw this up because I know it's Marcus McFeely.
Yeah.
And the other fella. I can't remember his name.
Like Steven or Scott or
Steven sounds correct. Yeah. Sounds right. I'll pull it up in the side notes here. Yeah. But those two, and their ability to pace the film, and as you said, like not make things feel forced, was so untouchable. Like it was so well done that that I think planted those seeds for, again, how good Infinity War and Endgame were.
Yeah.
Because they ended up subsequently writing those two after, right? So yeah, great pick, man. Great pick.
Thank you.
It's so
It's so tough for me to say, because, like, again, like, I've got First Avenger is my number three, and then Winter Soldier is my number five. Mm-hmm. But, like, I love all three. I more so than the Thor trilogy and, mm-hmm. and the Iron Man trilogy, I love the Cap trilogy more, yes. more than anything in the MCU. Yeah. And again, I don't think that that's really been tested by any other. Like, I mean, Guardians 3, I guess we'll see when yeah. we cross that bridge in a couple of years. But it's just set the bar so high for, like, a story, like a complete story. And I know that obviously yeah. we see Steve's kind of conclusion at the end of Endgame, but I do feel as if, like, if you were to take just those three parts mm-hmm. Of his story, I'd be like, oh my God, okay, fantastic. Leave it here. Yeah. I'm okay with
yeah.
this.
So, yeah.
Well said, you touched upon too about, like, how it's not a happy ending at all.
Right.
You look at that and, like, it's not a great ending. I mean, like, not a great ending in regards to, like, yeah. the good guys win. It's like, oh wow, okay, this is like turmoil.
Right.
And then you look at Infinity War and it's like, oh, okay, we're gonna ramp that up by 10 million. Mm-hmm. So yeah, well said, man. Very well said. Last but not least, okay, so I cheated.
Oh.
I'll be flat out honest with you. I'm a cheater. As I always joke about, it's my show to all the listeners.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
I'm allowed to, you know, manipulate. And I think I'm going to catch a lot of people off guard here. And this is, I think next to Endgame, the most emotional I've been over any project in the MCU. And it caught me off guard so much. And it absorbed me every Friday morning at 6 a.m.
Okay.
Between February and March. WandaVision.
Bastard. You picked the show.
Right? I know. So, like, WandaVision, man, I thought to myself, because it would have been Endgame as my number one, yeah. at least film-wise. But WandaVision is something I've watched two times through now, and I love it from start to finish. It tried something different. It took a swing. It hit a home run. It was the first show. Like, okay, let me rephrase that, because it wasn't the first show. You know, obviously, there's the Sunday nights where I'd watch my yeah. Breaking Bad, Mad Men, and so yeah, on and yeah. so forth in the past. But WandaVision was that show that was on everybody's radar that got everybody talking. And for me to make the effort on Friday mornings and getting up earlier before my first clients at work to watch it,
wow.
so that I could then therefore, like, be in the text messaging know with my friends and talk right. about it
right.
while we speculated on Mephisto and yeah, who yeah, was yeah, Agatha yeah. da da da
yeah
it was like the first time I had been like a fangirl, like a hard mm. fangirl regarding mm. anything. I think it's brilliantly executed. I love the pacing of it. I don't care that, like, there wasn't much of a reveal in regards to Agatha. Mm-hmm. Saw that one coming my way, but
right.
it wasn't about that. It was about right. The relationship between Wanda and Vision, and it got to me, man. That finale yep. is still yep. probably one of the hardest things I've ever cried at
oh,
in my
yeah.
life.
When they say goodbye to each other and he's like, oh yeah, it was, dude. It hit hard. It hit hard.
And I have, like,
I have been a voice with no body. A body, but not human. And now, a memory made real. Knows what I might be next.
And I have, like, an instrumental playlist on Spotify, and in mm-hmm. that song, and if correct, hold on a second, and I'm gonna forget. The score is done by Christoph Beck. Sorry, Christoph mm-hmm. Beck. I knew I was gonna screw that up, because Lauren Balfe does Loki, the score for that. But Christoph Beck is just that score, man. Every episode just mm-hmm. grabs me.
Yeah.
And I love it. I absolutely love it. I think that, again, in a year where, I should say, just basically an MCU year that was kind of dry, it just started this snowball of, like, emotion and, like, in-depth storytelling that I think the MCU really needed. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with Wanda and obviously Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And yeah, I think it stands head and shoulders above any project that they've ever done. So WandaVision is my number one MCU yeah. project.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I don't deny, if I knew we were doing TV shows, it would be up here in the top five for sure. But yeah, no, WandaVision is, I mean, it's also extremely groundbreaking for
yeah.
what Marvel wants to do. Like, in the sense that they talked about trauma, grief, yeah. death. She was holding people prisoner, like hostages, like It was a very dark show and
very
just
but with a Marvel sense, spin.
Yeah. And just in the sense that like the balls it took for Kevin Feige and just everyone involved to be like, Marvel is for kids.
Yeah.
So here we're gonna do a show with sitcoms from the 1930s and the 1940s, like something these kids have no idea what it means.
Yep.
They just had the balls to do it. And I loved it.
Yeah, it took, like I said, it took that commitment to the story that Jack Schaefer scripted out. And it was like, no, we're not going to cater. We're not going to cater to anybody.
Yeah.
If you want to figure out what the fuck is going on with the first episode and the second episode and the third, and then like, you kind of get a little bit of an inclination, like, oh, it's kind of making fun of Modern Family by like the fourth episode or Home Improvement. It's like, okay, like this is now speaking to, let's say, the average, let's say, MCU fan or the average watcher, not the casual moviegoer, right?
No, that's me, me only.
Exactly. But it took this gigantic swing, and I have so much love and respect for it. And it just, if those are the types of risks that they're going to take in phase four and in phase five, they've got me hook, line, and sinker. I'm thoroughly excited. And I don't know what other TV shows are coming in the next couple of months. Do you know
the schedule? In the next couple of months, there's going to be the Hawkeye show. I think Ms. Marvel is coming this year as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Although on that topic, just to see how dark WandaVision did go, I'm extremely excited for Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that into like the comics and I know the history. I just know Moon Knight, like he has like multiple personality disorder, right? Pretty much. Like he has like different personas.
Yep.
And that you have Oscar Isaac and now Ethan Hawke in that show. Mm. Like I feel like they might go into some dark places and I can't wait.
Same. And again, I think that Disney Plus is like that right platform for that type of story. If you had they even put WandaVision into, let's say, like a 2.5 hour long movie, it wouldn't have done that story justice. I think that they hit the nail on the head with trying to get across the tone and the positioning that it was going to take. So, but ladies and gentlemen, that leads us into your number one pick. I'm excited to hear what it is. I don't know what it is. I genuinely don't know what it is. I went through your page and I was like, could be this. And I don't know what it is. So.
Oh man. it's Ragnarok.
Is it Ragnarok?
It's Ragnarok.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
I cannot.
Here's the deal. I'll listen to you till this is empty.
Asgard is in danger. If people are dying, we need to get back there. I need your help.
Finished. Bye.
Odin is dead. Hela, the goddess of death, has invaded Asgard.
If Hela's back, then Asgard's already lost.
I'm going to stop her.
Alone?
Nope. I'm putting together a team. It's me, you, and the big guy.
No team, only Hulk!
I cannot count how many times I have rewatched that movie. Like, I'm not even like trying to be facetious about it. Yeah. Like, it has to be close to 100, maybe more. I've watched it so many times, man. I love that movie so much.
Cool.
Part of it has to do with, I'm a sucker for like 80s synthwave technicolor type aesthetics.
Same.
So like just there, like I was like, yeah, this is my shit. But like I think we're about roughly the same age. Yeah. So like, you know, we grew up watching
22, right? We're 22.
Oh yes.
Obviously. Look at these gray hairs.
So. Yeah. His chest hair is just it's window dressing. Exactly. Yeah. We grew up watching stuff like Masters of the Universe and Thundercats, like those 80s like sci-fi animes.
Yeah.
And I got such like a throwback vibe when I watched Ragnarok to like being a kid watching Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, like this is awesome. And obviously like it's hilarious. It's bold, it's colorful. Yeah. I feel like people don't talk enough about how good the production design and costume design is in Ragnarok.
Agreed.
Like just like that junkyard space aesthetic. So cool. Hmm. And like, I think we can all agree, like the Thor franchise was not doing good. Like aside from Chris Hemsworth being hot and Loki and Tom Hiddleston just being charming, like keeping it going. Like the franchise to go for, and Taika just came in and he was like, let's change the playing field. Like it's a comedy, Chris Hemsworth's career took off, like Tom Hiddleston became even more popular. Tessa Thompson, who's one of my favorite like upcoming actresses, upcoming. I mean, she's done amazing things, but like she hasn't gotten like that, like
the I knew attention what you meant.
That she deserves, right? Like, yeah, like I love it so much, and I'm very interested to see what number four is going to be like.
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk about that very quickly. Mm-hmm. So we've got a year. Actually, less than a year now. I think it comes out around my birthday next May, if I'm not mistaken. We got Natalie Portman returning.
Yeah.
We have Taika Waititi returning. Mm-hmm. We've been told it's going to be in the same vein with like a little bit more comedic element. Mm-hmm. Thoughts, feelings, concerns?
Concerns. I think Thor Ragnarok worked so well because it was still risky enough that Marvel didn't give Taika the full reins to be like his complete crazy self, and I think that helps, because I wasn't a huge fan of Jojo Rabbit because I felt like his humor, like he got a little too comfortable in it, and it became a little bit annoying. So I know Taika can reach that point where it can be too silly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I just hope he doesn't reach that point, and I feel like he might because he mentioned that he's gonna have like space sharks in the movie.
Missed that quote. Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, I forgot about the addition of Christian Bale as well.
Yes. So, and apparently Russell Crowe might have a cameo.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't hear that. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He might be Zeus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Like on paper, man, like it sounds like it's going to be bonkers. And like, I think that's the direction that they need to keep it with, especially because Ragnarok literally was so out of left field comparative to like the tone of the first Thor, which I love. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great movie, but it's a Kenneth Branagh movie. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I get this. This is going to be a little bit, you know, a little bit more uptight. And then Dark World's just, I don't hate Dark World, but again,
me neither. Like, yeah. I don't hate it either.
But yeah, I guess we'll find out in almost a year's time. Actually, I should say a little less than a year's time. Mm-hmm. So, Ankit, let's go through your 5-1 there, sir.
Yeah.
Favorite projects from the MCU.
So it was number 5 was Ant-Man. Number 4 was Winter Soldier. Number 3 was Endgame. Number 2 was Civil War. And then number 1 was Thor Ragnarok.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah. My number 5, Captain America Winter Soldier. Number 4, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number 3, Captain America the First Avenger. Number 2, Avengers Endgame, and number 1, snuck it in there and cheated, WandaVision. So, sir, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate your time. I am a gigantic fan of all the work you've done, and congratulations on all your success.
Oh, thank you.
Where can people find you? I'm going to obviously add a link in the bio and then on social media and everything. Where can people find you?
Yeah, so obviously I'm on Instagram at the casual moviegoer. I am slowly but surely dropping little... dipping my toes in like other platforms. So I am like trying to get on YouTube. So if you feel like following me on YouTube, please do so there. I'm also on TikTok, doing my little skits, putting them up there. Yeah. And yeah, just seeing, throwing stuff against the wall, seeing what sticks, but Casual Movie Girl on Instagram is my main claim to fame.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then just to pull something up very quickly, and I got to give you props, my friend. So is it MASV? M-A-S-V?
Massive, yes.
Massive. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry. Okay, I'm an idiot. Clearly, that wasn't as hard as I thought.
No, that's good to know that it's a hard name to pronounce. I'm on the marketing team, so that is good to know.
Oh, okay, cool. Massive. Guys, check out Massive as well. Massive is your other Instagram account. You've been doing edits. Explain that. You'll be able to explain this better than I
will. Well, so Massive is like my full-time job. I work for this. Yeah, yeah. So it's funny. Yeah, so like it's a Massive is, and I'm totally comfortable talking about it because my two synergies are meeting. So Massive is a, it's a file transfer service similar to like Dropbox and WeTransfer.
Cool.
But it's mainly situated to sending really, really large files, like hundreds of gigabytes, maybe some terabytes in there. Yeah. So naturally we're used a lot by filmmakers. So just circumstances, I got in touch with the CEO and like my casual movie girl world seeded into my professional life. Mm-hmm. And now the two mix together. So yeah, I'm helping grow like a film community for Massive and doing a lot of other marketing stuff on the side that's a little bit dry and boring. But so that's what I'm doing at Massive. I'm just trying to do some cool movie edits. I saw get paid to do it.
I was going to say, and then when you start getting paid for what you love, it's a beautiful amalgamation.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Or in the film world, Tenet. Anyways.
Tenet, yeah.
Sorry, I'm a fucking nerd. Anyways, guys, please go follow, like you said, The Casual Moviegoer. Brother, I would love to have you back. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your top five. Guys, you can find me, as always, I forgot my own Instagram. Is it the Top Five Film Dive? No, it's just Top Five Film Dive, because I wasn't allowed to put the at Top Five Film Dive on Instagram. The Top Five Film Dive on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your streaming. And if you guys are looking to be, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, please DM me at my personal Instagram. I am Curtie Mo, or at Top Five Film Dive. Always looking for fresh voices, new guests, and everything in between. Any last words, my friend?
No, I just want to say thank you so much for having me. I know we tried to do a balancing act of trying to match our schedules together to finally do this, but I'm glad we got to do it. And
me too.
I would 100% like to come back, and maybe we can do it in person in the future, because apparently I am down the street from you.
We're just down the street, buddy. Yeah. So I got all the audio equipment. So anytime you got an hour for me, I'd love it. So guys, signing off until next time. See you soon. So.